Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
People can actually improve upon kissing, and they might be kissing you like how they kissed their last girlfriend. And their last girlfriend wanted a lot of tongue and some weird swirly things that you don't want.
Oh, and I so never what you thought could, that.
Yeah.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today, I'm joined by hosts of the Unwaxed podcast, Sophia and Sistine Stallone. We talk about how to get the most out of dating apps, how to spot red flags, what to do after a bad first kiss, because they happen. They also asked me for my top masturbation techniques, if I believe porn watching is cheating. Also on the show, my inbox, I get so many questions from you, either through Instagram, which is Sex with Emily, or you email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. And I was like, I want to get to all of you. I do. And just so you know, in 2021, we are working towards that. We will be able to get to so many more of you. But to help make sure I got to yours, I thought it'd be fun to answer as many questions as I can during my new rapid fire segment. So I answered a bunch. I cover everything from prostate play to what to do when your partner takes too long to orgasm. So let me know what you think of that. All right. If you have any questions about sex or dating or relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or message me on social media, which is Sex with Emily. Okay. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, let's start off by setting an intention for the show. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? I do it for every show, and I thought you should do it too because it helps you ground in this. So it could be, I want to get better at spotting red flags. My intention is to give you new tools for your dating toolkit. All right, enjoy the show. Sophia and Sistine Stallone.
Yeah.
Hi, ladies. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Okay, so you just joined the podcast world.
Yes.
And your sisters doing a podcast and you're living together in a quarantine.
Well, what better time to start a podcast than a quarantine?
You know? We're 24/7 on top of each other. Not like we couldn't live more close with each other. Now we're going to work together.
Yeah, it's great. It's going great.
This just keeps coming up right now. We've all been like quarantined, especially in LA. Like, we're not sneaking around much. Do you think people are secretly going on apps? Are people having sex? Like, what have you guys found?
I've been not secretly going on apps. I've been outwardly public with me going on apps right now.
Yeah,
we really wanted to have a little quarantine boyfriend. That would have been nice.
And it's just not happening?
I don't know what it is about the dating apps, but...
Or, you know, guys stay in LA. I feel like a lot of guys are not super confident. Maybe it's just me, but we just as much as guys always say they love a confident woman... We love a confident guy too. And
like no one makes the first move to message or slide in the DMs if you match. And I don't know why.
They don't. Oh God, you guys, it's not easy right now. Okay. So I know you had boyfriends before, but your sex life. Yeah. What do you guys need? Because I know you said you listened to my podcast before. What's the sex like? What's going on?
Nothing. But I was saying this to Steve. I was like, the one thing I want to know from Emily is like the basics. I feel like everyone forgets, how do we flirt? How do we make the first move? Kissing tips? I feel like...
Or how do we even initiate the kiss?
Like, what do you do when someone's a horrible kisser? Like, yeah. Do you X them out?
That's a great question. No, let me tell you about that. We could start with kissing. Because let me tell you this, is that dating is a muscle. Flirting is a muscle. Sex is literally a muscle. And if we've gone months and months without mm-hmm. that, it is awkward at first to be on a date. And you're like, oh, I'm just used to being home with my sister in my sweats. And now I'm with a how do you flirt again? So,
yeah.
So you know what's so funny? I always get that asked this. And I used to believe that if someone's a bad kisser, it was like grounds for dismissal. Because you're like, well, clearly.
That's what I do.
Okay, let me give you another way to reframe this. People can actually improve upon kissing, and they might be kissing you like how they kissed their last girlfriend. And their last girlfriend wanted a lot of tongue and some weird swirly things that you don't want.
Oh, and I so never what you could,
yeah. So what you could say to them is like, let me show you, this is a little trick. Like I want to show you how I want to be kissed, and then show me how you want to be kissed. And then like, if you get into a relationship with them, then you like work it out. And then couples are like, oh, it's like dancing. And then it becomes like amalgamation of both your kisses. So it's, see, that's it's a deal breaker. I like shake not good kissers into good kissers. They're just nervous the first time.
Yeah.
They might.
But okay.
Do you have any go-to moves yourself?
For
like,
kissing?
Is there any like, is there any sensitive spots, or like, do you have like a move that you always use? Like, guys,
give me some new moves.
I need something. I did like the lip bite, and people are like, I need more. I feel like I don't have enough ammo.
God, we have so many erogenous zones on our body, and not just like the ones that you think about, like our breasts and our, you know, penis, vagina, but our neck, like the nape of our neck and our ears and our lips. So I think sometimes we get into the kiss, and you want to make sure it's fun to bite their lip and like blow in their ear and kiss their neck and use your hands, right? Kissing is about your hands. So you're not just getting into, are you getting turned on?
You're making me miss kissing.
Right now. I haven't been with a guy in months.
Dang it.
Well, tell me then, I want to know from you guys, what was a bad kiss? What happened?
This guy was chewing on my lips like chewing gum. And I had purple and blue. I was bruised. It would look like I got insane filler.
Was he hungry? That's bizarre.
I don't know. We just ate, so I was confused. No, it was terrible.
And mine felt like he was blending a smoothie in my mouth. It was like
the tongue was going around.
When you have to wipe your mouth after a kiss, I think that's a bad kiss.
You know, it's like they forget that it should go into like a progression, like tease a bit and then use the tongue and then go back to it.
Well, I love that you said that, because let me tell you this, the best everything, whether you're going down on someone or you're kissing them, is the tease. You start slow. You kiss them. You pull away. You like kiss their ear. You bite their lip a little bit. You don't like eat their lip. So you can also set the pace too. If you find that someone, it's okay to in your most seductive way, would just be like, hey, let's just slow down. I want to enjoy this. Or I've been thinking about this. Or however you would say it in your language. And then I used to let the guy set the pace for everything. Because I just, first off, I didn't know. I thought that that's what it was about, that if he had pleasure or I was following along, then it was like I was a good partner. I was good in bed or good at everything. And then I realized that they don't know either. Like the dudes don't know. And so.
No, they really don't.
They don't. Did you guys ever think that? Did you think that guys would just kind of know what made you feel good or that?
Totally. You know,
like,
totally.
Well, because I feel like the biggest problem was like we didn't know what made us feel good ourselves. And so you put a lot of pressure on the guy to go,
they don't know.
You have to figure it out. Or like, how am I supposed to figure it out? I think you have to figure out yourself first before you can even ask.
Yeah. But then, and then sometimes you're like, oh, they should have known to tease or they should have known to, you know, do foreplay and all this stuff, things that you already know. So then you automatically judge them like a bad kiss.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm telling you, they do not know. And not only don't the guys your age know, guys in their 30s and 40s and 50s, many of them do not know. I thought that you'd get out of the zone. You'd be like, okay, well, at least now, you know, someone knows in their 30s or they've been married for 10 years. And
Nope.
Most people have never thought
about
that.
Emily, I have a question. So then how do you drop a hint? I've done this with my ex before, and he didn't know how to do something. And I didn't know how to straight up just tell him what I wanted. So I put on a movie that actually there was a scene that instructed exactly what to do with like Jason Sudeikis explaining it. How do you drop a hint without having to
to like pull out the movie? You're like, wait a minute, I've got it. And you're like, come here, we're gonna play this movie. It's an art because a lot of times we don't say anything or we say it in a way that's like annoying. Like, could you just learn this already? Or why don't you ever go down to me? So the art to it is casually, when you're chilling and hanging out, when you're not in the bedroom, because having a sex conversation in the bedroom most often doesn't work. Because when you're turned on and aroused, or like if you have an erection, you're like not in your mind. You're like in another place because you literally have hormones and things that are raging. So you might be more enraged by something. You might interpret it differently. So when you're hanging out and it's casual and you're having a drink, you'd be like, oh, I can't stop thinking, you know, again, in your own words, but the tone is casual and curious. So I was thinking about, you know, last night, you know, that was hot when something's good. You have to name something good. Like when you, that was a hot makeout. Like we were so turned on when we were making out. Like I was thinking about that this morning. And I've been figuring out my own body and what feels good. And I've been like, I have something that I've learned about my body and I want to show you. Here's what feels the best to me. And again,
it's like a compliment sandwich.
It's a sexual compliment sandwich.
This is what I always say. It's the sexual compliment sandwich. Mm-hmm. So you say to them, here's a good thing. Here's something I love. Here's what I need. Like, here's what would be great. And then you wrap it up with, and so I think it'd be really hot. And I'd love you to tell me, what do you want? Like, I want to learn from you.
Right.
Now, this is also something that we have to practice because you probably haven't had those kind of conversations with any guys you've dated. Most people haven't.
I think I just get too nervous.
I'm pretty vocal about it.
The difference is Sophia has long-term relationships, whereas mine are like 1 month to 3 months, and then they just, you know, never really stick.
Well, because they're not learning.
It's harder in shorter-term relationships. I mean, it shouldn't be. My goal is that like if you're having sex with someone, talk about it. Be that, be the woman that teaches them that this is what it's all about. Because there's like a movement now. And we should lead with the pleasure because I'm telling you, they've been watching porn. There's no conversations about what people are into. It's made by men for men. And that's how most guys in your generation have learned about sex. So no woman's ever talked to them about it. I guarantee it. And then you're afraid about it because you're like, I've never seen this before. So if you start with like, this is how it's done, like she comes first, this is what I need, this is what I like, and you do it earlier, even with the guys that you're like, I don't know if I'm really that into them, practice. You know, they always say take every job interview, even if you don't want the job, so you can practice.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
You just tell them, you're a job interview, I'm just trying to get to the bigger picture.
Exactly. Be like, practice talking about your sex life, but I really feel like we get all these calls from people all ages who are like, how do I ask for what I want? What do I do about toys? I want to ask you guys that. What is toys like with your age group, your generation? Are people like using toys? Are they into it?
It's so interesting because most of my friends don't. And they don't, I mean, I'm still shy about it. Like I still don't even know what I'm doing really. But all of them say, all my girlfriends, absolutely not. We don't touch a vibrator. It freaks them out. They say it's intimidating.
Yeah, none of my friends use it. And I actually started in the beginning before even like considering using it. I would buy it for all my girlfriends as gifts for their birthdays or Christmas or just something just because, and I would say, oh, it's a gag gift, like as a joke.
Right.
But really they all end up texting me like 2 months later going, thank you so much. It was sitting in my corner and I just kept having it stare at me. And and it's kind of funny. Now all my girlfriends use it.
Do you talk to your friends about masturbation? Like, do you guys have orgasms? Do you have pleasure?
Yeah. Well, it's so strange. I think it's just my girlfriends are very uncomfortable about talking about it. And it's weird because I'm an open book with them, but I'm not going to, you know, spill all my beans if they're just going to sit there in silence.
But it's funny. I'll just bring up a thing. I'll be like, oh yeah. Like when was the last time like you had sex? Like a general thing.
Right.
It becomes like the topic of conversation over dinner for like hours and hours, and everyone loves to contribute. And I think that was like the factor that really made Sistine and I open about talking about it, especially with each other, was having one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Some people still think it's really awkward to talk to your sisters about it or even your family. But I think that we are having said there's really no sex education in schools right now. And mostly when it does have sex education, it's like, don't get pregnant, don't get an STD. But we never talk about pleasure and your clitoris and your body parts.
None of
what
that.
It looks like. Nothing. So what about like, what about, you have a younger sister too. Help her.
Yeah. I mean, we always try to do it what we kind of learned at that moment, like what we felt like she needed to know at the time. When, if she ever has conversations that she wants to bring up to us or like topics, we're more than happy to explain it to
her. She's lucky. She's got two sisters.
Yeah, I'm the oldest. I had to figure it out on my own. I have no idea what I'm doing. There's still
stuff to figure out. You know, I think you're never really done with it. You're never done learning. If people choose to be on a journey to understand their bodies and what makes them feel good, because that's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want for you. And I want that for all humans, and definitely like women in their 20s, that it's the time. I wish I knew. So how can I help you? I know you're not having sex now, but this is a great time to prepare for it when it happens, because it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. I find it hard to sort of get in the mood when I don't have a significant other with me. What are some ways to sort of like jumpstart that engine?
Make time for it and say, you know, you make time to like work out or to meditate. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is my time. I'm going to have my own space. I know you guys live together, but maybe you could each go into your separate rooms and have time. But you, I mean, you need to have my doors locked.
Like, Sophia, I need my time. I need to leave the room.
This is what I'm saying. It's hard because you're like, people, my parents could come home or my sisters or my roommate. But what gets me in the mood mostly is when I work a lot. I know you guys, I was listening to your show too. Like, you're workaholics. You work hard. You're anxiety. People are having anxiety more than ever now. When we're anxious and stressed and busy, we're not going to get turned on. So it's almost like keeping sex top of mind. We have to keep our own pilot light lit. So making the intention that like, I'm going to make my sex practice part of my like practice, because the more you get to know your body and all that, you're gonna just be more in the mood for sex. The more you masturbate, the more orgasms you have. You're also learning about your own body. So for me, I just start to like, I have my toys out, right? Like if my toy's out on my nightstand, like I'm thinking about it, right? I also make sure that I have a steam shower, right? And that's been a game changer. And I never used to have time to use my steam shower because I was working all the time. But now I'm like, and you might have a bath. For many women, that's it. And it's not just, people think you take a bath and it's like, oh, it's self-care. No, it actually calms your nervous system. Like if you're anxious and stressed, you get into a warm bath, even for 10 minutes, you're like, ah. And then you're in there and you're breathing, because it's our breath that keeps us from not being connected. And I go in now and I know it's like part of it. Like I go in the shower, I breathe, I come out and I'll just like listen to like an audio erotica app. There's these really cool, because for me, I'm not a huge fan of some porn. I am, but ethical porn. Like I love Erica Lust makes porn that's by women for women. So a lot of porn is like made by men from the male gaze, and it's not actually anything that turns us on. So I don't know, like it's really just like thinking thoughts that turn you on, and then just start to experiment, touch yourself, like use lube. Lube is like a game changer because lube is not only like, it gets you in the mood because it's slippery and it feels good. And you start to rub it on yourself, the friction, like on your clitoris, that'll get it going, and use a toy and just start breathing and give yourself time. It's a multi-sensory experience, like planning a date for yourself, lighting your favorite vanilla candle, like so your senses are going, your favorite playlist.
So you need to sort of get all of your ducks in a line, and then, okay, then the magic happens. I have a lot of porn-related questions because you brought up porn. Okay. Yes. I guess I'll start with the first one. A lot of my girlfriends don't let their boyfriends watch porn because they consider it cheating, which I think is bananas. Like, I think that's insane because this girl on the screen looks nothing like you. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's really common that a lot of women think that. I love that you're bringing it up because, listen, people are going to masturbate in a relationship, out of a relationship. It's the most natural thing in the world for we all except men watching porn. And I understand that, but it's just because I understand the jealousy. Because for a lot of women, it's like, oh, well, I assume that I want to look like that. He wants me to look like this girl in porn.
Right.
And I don't. But I just say, take all that energy of obsessing that it's cheating and go back to like, well, you deserve pleasure as well. You go home and get your masturbation on, or go find out what turns you on. But it's not cheating. It's a release. Men do it in relationships. They do it out of relationships. And that's why I said my revolution that we're all starting here, the pleasure revolution, that women, the more that we could just stop worrying about that and understand that it's a release, it's pleasure, you're understanding yourself.
Yeah, it's just a feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what
okay, I have another question for you.
Yes.
I got another one. I got a bag full of tricks here. most of my girlfriends, and I know Sophia can attest to this, don't enjoy male-female porn. They're all straight females, but they do enjoy lesbian porn.
Yes.
Why is this such a popular thing amongst straight women?
Yeah, it's really, I would say that's the most common type of porn for women. It's because it's about our pleasure. Mm-hmm. It's with a partner who knows your body. So you're watching a woman in ecstasy being pleased by another woman. That's what we all want. Not necessarily the woman, but we want a part. If you're with a man, we want them to be like ravishing us and into us and know what we want. And we don't have to be awkward or weird and like ask for it. I think it's beautiful. We all kind of agree that women's bodies, many, you know, it's amazing to watch, but it's relatable. It's not threatening. We don't have to be like, it's another job. I should be giving a blowjob right now. So it's this act of receiving and ecstasy.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's...
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I never thought about it that way.
That's, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's like... They would always bring that up to us, and we're like, oh, okay. Like, that makes sense.
Is that what you guys like?
I don't watch porn.
It just, it's too... I don't know. I just don't... It doesn't do it for me. Yeah. It doesn't do it for me. Maybe I haven't explored anything. I think I need to explore more options.
Yes. Try this Ann Jane app. There's also one called TriQuinn, Q-U-I-N-N. Mm. And you go to these apps. It's actually, TriQuinn isn't an app yet. Okay. Ann Jane is an app. And it's like, they have like woman on woman scenes. They have women and they're like reading like a 10-minute story. Or there's like a guy reading a story and you just are listening because I don't know about you.
Stories.
Like,
how does that work with stories? How does that work?
You listen to like, she'll be like, oh, so I came home from work and I was waiting for my boyfriend to come over. And then, you know, I just took a bath and I got out of the shower and he came in and I was so, you know, he came in and he just said, you know, lay down. I want to give you a massage. And then, you know, you just hear them tell a story like that, like an erotic story.
So you use your imagination.
Yeah. And you just lay back because I think it's really sexy to hear someone else just talk about it. That also gets me in the mood. You guys, thank you for being here. Sophia and Sistine Stallone, where can they find you, everybody? Tell them.
At Sophia Stallone, at Sistine Stallone on Instagram.
On Instagram, Twitter, all the platforms, at Unwaxed Podcast. Emily, thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you for being here. I adore you guys, and I'll see you on your show soon. Stick around. After the break, I talk to Sherry, whose partner takes a long time to reach orgasm. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Let's talk to Sherry, 58 in California. Hi, Sherry. What's going on?
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Emily. Hi. I started dating someone recently, like in July, and we've had sex, so, you know, a few times, but when we first started, he couldn't have an orgasm. He said, well, he hasn't had sex for a while, so maybe that's the reason, right? So we keep trying, and he still hasn't. And I'm, you know, giving him like blowjobs like crazy and nothing's happening. He won't give me any feedback about what I'm doing wrong. I never experienced this with anyone else. So I know it's not my technique.
Yep.
At least normally. Okay.
You know, but yeah.
I said, well, you got to tell me what I'm doing. I'm down here for like a half an hour, 45 minutes. And like, it's like, It's quiet as a church mouse.
It's a grind. Sherry, it sounds to me like he's a delayed ejaculator. That's why the blowjob gets a bad name, gets a bad rap, because you're like, this is a fucking job. Sherry, I bet you he's a delayed ejaculator. And that means that that's a condition that men have. It's like premature ejaculation. This is the other side of it where you actually, and it's for men who last typically, I don't like to put time around it, but it is about 30 minutes to an hour. They just really cannot ejaculate. And it's delayed ejaculation. There's a lot of different causes for it. We don't know exactly a lot of the things. It's mental. It could be something physical, but it's actually one of these conditions. And it's very common for men, actually. I hear about delayed ejaculation.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty common. I was with a guy once too, Sherry, same thing. And I was like, what is the problem? I'm really good at oral. I know what I'm doing. Right. This is there. Am I not? What happened? And I come to find out that like this was something that he's like, oh no, it happens, whatever. And then my friend happened to have dated, I'm just remembering this now. My friend had dated him like 2 years earlier. And one time I was like, what's the deal with Bob? I'll call him Bob. And she was like, oh my God, he never comes. But see, but that's what it is. So Sherry, So I would say to him, so is this something that's, you know, I'm curious. So tell me, has this been something that's happens to you often? Because it's really, Sherry, we all worry when our partner has an orgasm, it's our fault. And typically it's not. Unless you're actively not trying, you know, to satisfy your partner.
No, I'm trying. Okay.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. I'm exhausted for you. 45-minute blowjob. You got a nap. You know, you need to take the day off work. It's a lot.
A lot.
So, I mean,
Wait,
Sherry,
no,
this
he
is...
He did mention to me that he said it's happened before, but like, we've been trying this for like a couple of months now and nothing has happened. Not on the everyday basis, but you know... Once or twice a week or whatever, you know, on a regular basis, and nothing's happened.
Does the orgasm during intercourse, during penetration?
No.
Oh,
no.
None of it. You haven't seen a drop.
No, not at least not with me. He told me, he says he is masturbating, he has orgasms during masturbation.
Well,
but
it
not
could
with
be
me.
That. Well, it could be also.
He told me it's not my fault.
It's not your fault. Sherry,
fault, but,
I am telling you, you have the doctor's certified, it's not your fault seal of approval here. It's not your fault. It has nothing to do with you.
Okay.
He's a delayed ejaculator. Yeah. Now, you could, if you're into this guy, try a vibrator on his penis. Try, maybe if he's into prostate play, you know, get a cock ring that vibrates.
Why don't you tell me that? I asked him, like, what do you fantasize about? Like, we can try. I'm pretty open. Like, I'm willing to try anything, you know? And he won't even tell me. He says, what am I going to do to you?
Yeah, I know. Like, I think that he doesn't have
really
the experience.
Like,
I know. Well, you know, Sherry, this is what I'm here. This is why I have a job. Most people have never talked about it, whether you're 58 or 18. Nobody ever talks about it. So he's probably, and I'm going to be honest, is he in his 50s as well? He's probably had this for his lifetime.
Yeah,
and I'm going to imagine, 51, I'm going to imagine that he's never talked about it to anybody and that it's always been a source of shame for him. And he doesn't know what he likes because he hasn't maybe had healthy sex relationships because it's always so much stress for him because he can't come.
Well, I know he has two children, so he's obviously
he's come twice.
Something happened.
Right. He's definitely ejaculated twice. I don't mean that, but I mean like I don't mean that he's never come, but I think that this problem, maybe since his divorce or since he's been with someone or maybe his wife was used to it, maybe it was an onset when in his 30s or 40s. It is an issue. I mean, it could also be like other health problems. He could be taking medication right now that could impact it. There are some things that could impact it. Like if he's on an antidepressant, I would get more information.
No, he's not on any medication. This is like, he's never ejaculated when we've been together. We've been together, I know, at least 10 or 15 times, maybe.
Oh, that's a lot of times.
And
how is your?
Ever happened. That's a lot.
How about for you? Are you having orgasms and pleasure?
Yeah, he'll go down on me and he's very loving and, you know, attentive, but like, I feel like I'm wasting my time. I don't want to say wasting my time, but I'm not doing, I'm not using my time productively.
Well, don't,
you know?
Yes, the 45-minute blowjob to somebody who does not ejaculate from oral, I would say also not efficient. However, is he having a good time?
I'm not really sure because he's not verbal. Let me tell you, when we do have sex, he's so quiet.
That is so hard. I hate when someone does. Yeah, that's tough.
So tell him that sure.
Okay, well, we have some things to discuss the next time you see him. You could say, I want to talk about our sex.
I'm trying to discuss it with him. Yeah, I don't get any clues, you know, nonverbal clues that.
You got to tell him. You got to say to him, right?
Yeah, I've asked him, well, tell me what to do. Tell me how you like it, what you want. And he's got me a little bit, but it's not like enough. And I can't pull it out of him. I'm trying to pull it out of him, but I don't want to make him feel bad either. You know?
Yeah, I think that another way to approach it would to say, hey, when you guys are hanging out and it's casual and you're having dinner, yeah. Not when you're in the bedroom. Remember, timing, turf, right. And tone, not in the bedroom, outside the bedroom, very casual. Say, you know, I've been thinking about our sex life and I want you to know it's all good. I know that if you don't ejaculate, it's still a good time for you. But I just have some more questions for you because I can't help get out of my head that there's something else I could be doing. And I would just love to know more about this because yeah. If you tell me that it's totally that I'm not, maybe, because you could say maybe you're feeling like I'm pressuring you, but if you actually are telling me that it's, let me know if there's something else I could be doing. And if yeah. not, I'm just going to assume that we're good.
Let me know.
Make it casual. Yeah. Let me know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's nervous the way you brought it up because it makes him feel more anxious because he probably knows that he disappoints yeah. women when he has an orgasm. So let's just say the next case scenario is that he says to you, yeah, you know what? I actually got to be honest with you. This has been the case for many, many years. And I actually just love watching you come. It still feels amazing to me. I'm not as attached to ejaculation. I love this relationship. Then could you just say, let it go maybe and be like, okay, he's not going to come, but I am. And it's fine. Like it's kind of
reboot. I mean, you're right.
I want,
it's
yeah.
Like, okay.
But if yeah. you can make peace with it and you get more information that this is just where he's at this point in his life, and you could still be with yeah. him knowing that, that's just going to have to be the next decision. But let's get some more information yeah. from him, get a little bit more details, and then sure. decide. But it's okay. going to be a new thing. Okay. You know, you're going to have to think about it. Yeah, let me know. I'll be here. Talk to
all
him.
Right.
Can't wait to hear what happens.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye, Sherry. Let's talk to Mary Kate, 24, in San Francisco. Hi, Mary Kate. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Great to be heard. I definitely wanted your input on something.
Sure.
So I just recently moved to San Francisco from Southern Illinois, and due to moving, I broke up with my boyfriend. So my issue is I'm trying to like be young and fun. I'm 24. I'm trying to get back into the dating world and it feels so forced. And when it comes to like any sexual attraction, these guys that I talk to, they're like nice and they're cool. But the only time I've felt sexual gratification is like when I'm thinking about my ex.
Yeah, Mary Kate. Well, that sounds like exactly the condition that happens when you're used to being with one person for a long time. And now you're in a new city and you're in a new place. So everything's exciting and new, but yet you have that. It's like, it's intimacy. It's familiarity. It's so that's not so much that you have to be with your ex again. It's more like having new experiences. And I think you're doing all the things that you need to do. It's just going to take a matter of meeting somebody else to replace that thought. But also it's like your condition now. Like how long were you with your ex-boyfriend?
So we had kind of a complicated relationship, but I was also only with him for about, you know, starting the end of last year. So this is about
okay.
the time we got together.
Got it.
And it was honestly my first like real relationship. And I definitely felt like that intimacy with him. And, you know, I meet guys out here. They're nice. We get along really well. I have great conversations. I even tried to date a guy for about 3 months, but he even noticed like, he was like, you're not into PDA, you're so standoffish. And it's because I really just can't picture or like get myself to sexually desire anybody else.
Okay. And are you still talking to your ex? Is he still present in your life?
So we kind of chat off and on. We kind of moved. Well, I mean, we broke up due to me moving.
Okay.
So we still are like friends and we've tried to move it into kind of a friend relationship. So we still talk on and off sometimes, but I probably haven't spoken to him in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, because I think the sooner you can get away from that, I get that he's a comfort, you know, to you, but I think it's really hard to move on when you're still talking to your ex. But I would also say, give it time. I mean, when did you move there? You just moved a few months ago during a pandemic?
Yeah. I just moved at the end of July, kind of on a whim. I'd never lived in the city before, but some recommendations from some good friends. It just seemed like I needed a change. So
what a great place, though. I mean, you sound like me, because I moved there when I was 22 from Michigan and I didn't know anybody. And I moved there in September. Yeah, that was my place. And it was so exciting. But it took me a while to find my people, to find a boyfriend. Yeah. I had a boyfriend from college I was still talking to. And so I think it's a process. So it's like having patience with yourself and knowing that it's not a problem. It's just sort of a condition you have. He's the last person you associated with intimacy and romance, and you probably felt safe with him. So now you're with someone new and you're thinking, well, I don't want to hold your hand. I barely know this hand. And so you don't have the emotional connection yet. And I promise you, Mary-Kate, it is going to happen. Like, if I thought of myself with that college boyfriend still, like, God, are we different people? But we tend to get just attached to what we have in the past. So the other thing I would say that would be helpful in the meantime is, first, take the pressure off yourself. I love that you're dating. I love that you're just going out there and meeting people, but it's okay if you're not feeling that yet. But also, I want to say, how's your own intimacy game? Are you giving yourself some self-love? Are you masturbating? Are you having other, are you in a sexual place at all with yourself? Because then you're also linking that up to the ex. He has that power over you.
Yeah. And that's definitely something I've kind of come across when it comes to like my own personal pleasure and things like that. I really can't focus on anything, because I mean, like, I was in the game, I was dating other people. I was like casually dating and casually having sex, you know, like when I was younger in college. And then this was my first real relationship. So I've definitely had that, but I have no desire really to hook up with anybody. And I even like sexually myself, I'm either like not interested in masturbation, or it is all mentally focused on him or memories with him.
But see, Jeff, this is exactly, you're 24 years old. Your experience is with sexual, there's a little bit limited right now because that's what you've had. And it's I had my greatest first love, you know, when I moved to San Francisco at 23, I think we met. Like, we get linked. It's a new experience. So it can be even more powerful, the relationships we have in our, you know, earlier, like in our 20s. So I think for you that I'm going to give you an assignment, because it's kind of like with masturbation, and it's a new practice as well. But the more you can just do it and be more mindful of it and pay attention to like what you're feeling in the moment, you could think about how it, like, explore your body with your fingers, using a toy. And like, really, if you focus on your breath and what it feels like to touch yourself, you can kind of stay focused in that moment. If your mind starts wandering to your ex, you could just try to bring it back to sensations, because that's what's going to allow you to figure out what feels good to you, turn yourself on. And it's kind of, I hate to say that masturbation becomes like a, like exercising, but it is, because I don't know if you work out, but sometimes it's really easy. And sometimes when you take a break, it's not. But once you start doing it again, you always feel better after. The same thing goes for masturbation. So like a mindful masturbation practice where you're just like, okay, Emily says to do this, I'm going to keep going. And then have an orgasm and feel that in your body and like start to focus on that, and not beat yourself up if you're thinking about your boyfriend, but maybe you could even replace it with someone you went on a date with that you weren't that into. See, that's the thing. It's that you can't picture the intimate. You might've liked one of these guys, or maybe you could have, but it was not familiar. So could you try to just, if you keep going towards your boyfriend, maybe just picture one of these guys that you're not going to be with, but picture their face instead, or a celebrity crush. Yeah. This is, you have my permission to do this, just to replace it, so your intimacy and your sex life isn't tied to the ex still. And again, it still might be. It still might be for a little bit. Because I know when I'm in a good practice, I'm walking around, I'm feeling much more turned on, much more sexual. But when I go weeks without masturbating and touching I'm like, oh God, I'm dead inside. I don't want to do it. I'm tired, you know? So it's just, I'm just reminding you of little steps you could take, and then also not be hard on yourself because he's someone you loved and it only ended because you moved. So it's not like he was an asshole or anything.
So it's harder to hate the nice ones. But
it is.
Yeah, I think that could definitely be something I could kind of try, you know, move things from ex-boyfriend to more so like George Clooney or Brad Pitt.
Exactly. Brad Pitt, George Clooney works every time. Sure.
But Well, yeah, definitely think I'll, you know, maybe focus on myself a little bit more and being more in charge of like my pleasure, as opposed to like thinking about somebody who used to be in charge of it for me.
Exactly. That's it. And then you're going to feel when you're with someone new, you're going to know, you're going to feel like, oh, hello, body. Like you're already going to be in your groove. And then it'll be, you'll be more open. Your sexual energy will be more open to actually find the person that you're attracted to who gets lucky enough to be with you.
Aww.
That's, we have some stuff. It's true. It's, oh, I mean it. Mary Kate, you in San Francisco. I wish I could go back and live that right now. It's a wonderful city to move to. And so I would also say we've got a lot of great stuff at sexwithemily.com, like, you know, beginner masturbation or mindful masturbation practices, just to give you a, just to give you a little push.
Yeah.
So let me know how it goes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Always been a big fan of you. So finally, I got to call in and speak with you.
I love
it. Thank you so much.
Call anytime. Yeah, I'll be here for you, Mary Kate. I'll be thinking about you there. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. Have a great night. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. I'll be answering rapid fire questions from Instagram. Super excited to talk to Deborah, 56 in Massachusetts. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Emily. How are you doing?
I'm so doing well. I'm excited for your call. Tell me everything. How can I help?
Well, my husband and I have, Bob, and he's here with me, and we have you on speaker.
Hi, Deborah.
We have been listening to you for the last couple of years. We've been together for 33 years and married for 31, and we're experimenting with some of the things you've suggested. Right now, I'm interested in exploring prostate play, and we haven't done any of that, and I'm wondering if you can make some suggestions on how to get started.
Yes, such a great question. Now, wait, you're interested, Deborah. Is Bob interested?
Yes, he is.
Okay. I love when you guys are calling in together. So what we're talking about is the prostate, just for everyone listening. Men have a prostate inside of them and the anus. I'm sure you all know this, but it can also give you intense pleasure. And there's a lot of stigma around it, right? You've heard like, oh, does it mean that I'm gay or it's only for exiting? No, it just means you have a part of your body that can feel amazing when you stimulate it. So a great way to start is just to start with some external. Have you ever done any external touching, Deborah, like with your finger and some lube just externally, just so you can get used to what it feels like to have some stimulation?
Well, we've done some of that and we've got some... We've got some anal plugs that we've played with.
Great.
I don't have long nails, but I have short nails, and he worries about my fingernails.
Yeah, that's a thing. I mean, you could wear a glove. I mean, the thing is, the nails, it's very thin tissue internally, and so you can, you know, if you have, even if you have short nails, it could still, you know, they have to be really short. I always tell people, like, before you're going to do it, if you're, you know, for men, trim your nails, make sure that they're clean, all that stuff. But if you have even have a little bit of nail, you know, you could also put cotton, if they're short, they're okay, but you could also put little cotton balls at the end of gloves too, like if they're little, for people with longer nails, so the nails don't poke through the gloves.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I recommend that, you know, use a glove and then really you just, now do you want to start with your fingers or do you want to use a toy, Deborah? Bob, what are you thinking?
Well, we ordered a toy. It hasn't arrived yet.
Okay.
But we use, what's her store? We've used your store.
Oh, Good Vibrations on my website?
Yes. We went through Good Vibrations and we ordered a toy, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Okay, perfect. So let's get you started then. So what you do is you insert a finger. You know, it could be your middle finger or a finger, the pointer finger. You just want to make sure that, you know, that Bob's relaxed and he's laying on his back. And then you insert a finger, you know, you go slowly inside and you want to use your finger in like a come hither motion towards the belly button, much like how you would stimulate the G-spot internally. Mm-hmm. So it's just sort of, and then when you're doing that, you'll find this spot and it's like a rough area, kind of like a peach pit. And then you just want to start to tap it with a finger like it's a tapping, okay? And then Bob's going to be giving you feedback about, you know, how it feels. And it's really just, it's like a tapping or it's applying pressure with a finger. Like you're just sort of, you know, you could try going faster or a little bit slower, but it's kind of different for everybody. So you're using the, you know, it's a stroke too. So you're not poking. I haven't described this in a while. So you're stroking it, right? So once you find it with that come hither motion, it's like a
slow come hither.
A slow, steady, rhythmic come hither where you're applying pressure.
Okay.
And then you go slow, and you could go slow or a little bit lighter, you know, following Bob's, his response and how he's feeling. Okay. And then you could also try the tapping, like I said, and then just see, you know, how that goes. And you want to make sure that, you know, you could also circle around with your finger, much like mm-hmm. how I tell everyone to kind of figure out their G-spot. We spend a lot of time talking about internal pleasure, or the G area, as I call it. And then just kind
of... We spent a lot of time on that.
This is the same kind of thing. Like it didn't, you know, the first time you were with Bob, Deborah, I don't know if he just kind of found your spot. So it takes a little bit of time. He did. That's why you've been together for so long. I love it. So really it's just like a constant pressure, your fingers inside, and then you just want to kind of take it out slowly. So you're not going in and out. I think that's another misperception, that you're pulling your finger out and putting it back in. I mean, unless he's into it, but I think it's more of a, you know, a come hither, a gentle, you know, rubbing.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Was that helpful?
Right.
Does that make Okay. You want to make sure that you just are sticking to one thing.
There's no place to get advice to get started. So I really appreciate this.
Of course. I'm here for you. Will you guys let me know how it goes?
You know what? We will.
Okay. I love it. I'll be here. Thank you. It was lovely to talk to you guys. I love getting you off on this mission here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Emily.
You're so welcome. Have a great night. Bye, Deborah. Thanks for calling. And of course, you need to use a lot of lube and reapply as needed. And by the way, a lot of you took our survey. Thank you. But what I found in it was that a lot of you aren't using lube, and you got to use lube. All right. Should we do a little bit of rapid fire? We get a lot of emails from you guys, a lot of DMs. You slide into my DMs on Instagram, which is Sex with Emily. And I just want to be able to answer all of them. So let's try to answer some right now before we end the show for the night.
Rapid fire with Dr. Emily.
All right, Heather on Instagram, recovering sex drive. I've lost my sex drive. How do I get it back? We never lose our sex drive. Sometimes it just takes a little break. I think that, you know, when our brain's on board for sex, our body will follow. The best way to get it back is to start pleasing yourself, thinking about things that arouse you. The more, sex begets sex. The more orgasms you have, the more you'll maybe desire sex. All right, are twitching, spasming orgasms realistic? My boyfriend is surprised when mine are less theatrical. Our orgasms are different all the time, but yes, it's your pelvic floor muscles that contract when you have an orgasm, and sometimes they make you twitch. They make your legs twitch, and it's all good. Just tell your boyfriend to, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Leah, Instagram, anal for beginners, advice for first-time anal sex. Go slow, breathe, and use a ton of lube, and start with a finger. How do I help my partner become more adventurous? Since this is rapid fire, I'm going to tell you quickly, do the yes, no, maybe list. At sexwithemily.com, look for the yes, no, maybe list. And it's a great exercise for couples to see all the things that are possible. And maybe you'll find she's already a little more adventurous than you think. Okay, mismatched libidos. If you're not sexually compatible with your boyfriend, my sex drive is higher. Every relationship has a couple people that are mismatched libidos, high desire, low desire partners. That happens. Keep talking to your boyfriend and figure out when are you guys both going to be, you know, how much sex is enough, schedule sex, certain times a day, all the things, but keep talking about it, okay? All right, how do you tell a potential partner that you're a 29-year-old male virgin? All right, I would tell them, as soon as you think they're going to be a sex partner, I would say, you know what? I have not had sex yet. It's something that I really think that I would love to have sex with you, or I'm feeling like we're heading in that direction. But remember, it's nothing to apologize about, nothing to be shameful about. It's like we all lose our virginities when the time is right. So I think that if you're with a trusting, honest, loving, supportive partner, then they're going to be okay with it. And you're going to know if they say something that makes you feel bad, get out of that relationship. What's the best toy to start off with a partner without experience in toy play? I say the We Vibe Chorus. It is a couple's toy that you can insert during penetrative sex. It stimulates internal clitoral nerves, external clitoral nerves, and it feels great on the penis too. All right. I can't orgasm without doing it myself. I can't do it during sex at all. Any tips? You know, that's the case for a lot of women. I would recommend that you do mutual masturbation with your partner, because if they're there, you're going to figure out, he can see what turns you on, you see what turns him on, and he's going to see how you touch yourself. So then he'll be able to touch you and move in that way. All right. Thanks, everybody. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.